In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For 30 years, the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ was hidden from everyone. Sure, we all know about the star over the place where the child lay. We know about these miraculous events that happened during that time. But still, who he actually is had not been revealed to anyone. And we think of this whole time period as a great mystery. We want to know things about him during that time. We want to think, well, what was he like growing up? What was he like as a young man? What was he like as a young adult? Because obviously the people that were involved with him had really no idea in terms of what was to come, except, of course, Joseph and Mary. The others didn't, because we know this because when he started into his ministry, people were astonished. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this the guy we've known all these years? What's going on? Who is this person? How can this be? So it was completely hidden away. It was completely kept quiet from everyone until the time of his baptism. Because at that time, when he appears to John, and John is completely flabbergasted in terms of the request he gets from Jesus to baptize him, saying, "I know you. I knew you in the womb. I certainly know you now. And I know that you should be baptizing me instead." But the Lord says, "No, it's enough for us to fulfill all righteousness." Because the Lord was making a tie between what went before and what comes now. Because what was the first thing that St. John the Baptist said? Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was his call. That was his whole ministry. That was the whole motive behind his ministry. Because what he had done was basically summarize the entire time of the Old Testament. All that happened in the Old Testament led up to this one man crying this one word, repent. Repent summarizes everything that the Lord was trying to teach people from the time of Adam and Eve in the garden, who were forced into repentance, really, for their transgression, up through Abraham, up through Moses, all the prophets, up to the greatest prophet of all, St. John the Baptist. And so St. John was condensing everything, the law, the prophets, everything into this one word, repent. And so Jesus comes to him asking to be baptized. Even though he needed no repentance, he was brought there in order to fulfill everything that John had been preaching. But yet he accomplished much more when he gets into the waters of the Jordan. Because at this point, finally manifesting his divinity, and how does he do this? He does this through the revelation of the Holy Trinity, the voice calling from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The Lord himself, the second person of the Trinity, going down under the waters of his own creation. And in the Holy Spirit, in the form of a dove, manifesting the Holy Trinity for the first time in such a visible manner. And why the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, by the way? Well, remember what it was that Noah sent out when the waters flooded the earth? It was a dove. And so everything ties back into something that had happened before. And now we have this entire great manifestation of our God and Savior who touches the water, manifesting his divinity, and recreates our nature. Totally recreates our nature. Everything had been corrupted by Adam's sin. Everything. The entire world. Death engulfed everything. There's not one single thing, materially speaking, in the earth today that does not decay. Everything does. And that's because of what happened back in the garden so many years ago. But now the Lord is completely renewing it. He's renewing everything. He's starting everything again. He's saying, look, you've got now really what Adam really never had. You've got me in the flesh, uniting myself to your nature, becoming one of you, taking that corrupt nature and refashioning it and spreading it out before you so that now you can pick up where Adam left off and where he failed. But don't forget that Adam also had great responsibility, and you have great responsibility here as well. Because what then, after the Lord comes out of the water, thereby showing us the form of baptism that was to be done, that we would all enjoy later on, but only one time, because it was simply for a baptism of repentance and not a baptism in the Trinity. Now the Lord goes forth. And what does it tell us today? That he heard John was being thrown into prison. Now John knew that as the Lord increased, he must decrease. And so John the Baptist, his time is done. It's over with. His calling is complete. His ministry is finished. And now the Lord comes forth. And he leaves Nazareth. And he goes into Capernaum. Now Capernaum was a Gentile town. It was really, if you could call the Lord's headquarters anything, it was Capernaum. He spent a lot of time there. And so because of that, it fulfills the prophecy that those that walked in darkness, meaning the Gentiles, have now seen a great light. And that light was Jesus Christ. And then, as St. Matthew tells us, what does Jesus say today? To tie up John's proclamation with everything that had gone before, with what he is proclaiming now, what does he say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Thereby showing that this was nothing new that he was inventing. This was nothing that somehow he was completely disregarding everything that had happened before and completely disregarding the preaching of John the Baptist. No, but tying it together and saying, this is the continuation. John called you to repentance. I'm calling you to repentance. But now I'm also calling you to be partakers of the new creation which I just inaugurated through my plunging into the waters of the Jordan, which you now can do also when you plunge into the waters of baptism. It's all the same. And now he makes it visible to us that we can also be recreated, that we can also be set free from the ancestral curse, that we can also follow him in all the things that he is doing. This is why this time of year is really such a wonderful time. We get basically from the middle of November to the beginning of February, this whole wonderful succession of events that we have, including the birth of Christ, the celebration of the entry of the Mother of God into the temple before that, through his baptism now, combining these two feasts, which is going all the way through his presentation in the temple in just a few weeks from now. This is the wondrous, wondrous time of the year of our renewal, if we will but take it into heart. Because as Adam and Eve, again, had responsibilities before God, so do we. We have twofold responsibilities in this. One is to imitate the Lord in all he does. And what did he do most of all? He displayed love towards all mankind because he came to us, the God of heaven and earth, born in a cave in a manger, the God of heaven and earth, getting baptized by the hand of one of his creatures. And now the God of heaven and earth, the creator of all things, will walk among us and preach these wonderful, wonderful, glorious things of the good news to all of us. This is an incredible thing. So we also must show this love and kindness towards one another, especially amongst ourselves in the Christian community, because if we can't do it here, we can't do it anywhere else. But then we must also go out into all the world and treat every single person as if they are Jesus Christ, because that is our calling. That is what we are to do. The second thing that we have to do is show responsibility for ourselves, to not blame others, to not feel sad or downtrodden or somehow woe is us because of all the things that are happening. Of course, we're living in one of the worst times in recent memory. Things are happening all over the place. It seems like society is shutting down. People are getting sick and, oh my goodness, where is God? Where is God? Well, he never promised that the path was going to be a skip along the yellow brick road into heaven, did he? He never said that. Seems to me like he said something about, well, if you want to be my disciple, you have to follow in my footsteps. Guess where I'm going? I'm going to the cross. Come along. Come into the waters of baptism. The water's fine. It's wonderful. Come along with me. Suffer with me. Experience the glories that I'm going to show you. But always know that the road to heaven is a tough one because the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And those that approach it with violence, meaning violence to their own natures, are the ones that are going to be there. So it should not surprise us when things don't seem to be going well in life. What a surprise that things don't always go well in life. Well, get used to it. But if you want to sail through those rough seas, then you've got to take this water that Jesus offers us, this water that is now recreated, this water that supports our life, that renews us, that baptizes us. He is the water of life. And we must accept this and move forward knowing that He is with us at every single point in time, every single instance of our lives, He is going to be with us. Don't forget this, my dear brothers and sisters, because rough times in life will pass. They will go by. And then you'll get a breather. And then the next rough time will come up, because that's just the nature of the world that we live in. But the good news is that God has recreated everything. And if we just look to Him, touch Him, participate in Him, that's all we're ever going to need in this world or in the next. Amen.